It says we're live, like, so I'm going to go ahead and start.
Here we go. Let's start.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're live.
We're live. We are not having technical difficulties. We have new tech people today.
I don't know if I would say new. They have done this before.
Well, the student has become the teacher.
That's
who is
right.
Now
the
teaching
student has become the
Kathy,
teacher,
so.
And we are very excited about that.
We were waiting. We're going to get the thumbs up as soon as you go live, and Aaron's phone's like, live?
You're live. Okay, we're live. Here you are.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, number 79, is that right? Did somebody change it?
Yes. All right. We're getting the yes. Yes, all right. 79. Pathways Podcast 79.
How
is
was
the episode today?
Welcome back, by the way. You missed
Thanks.
Last week.
I know. I was
took a heck of a week
here,
to be off.
But I wasn't. I know. I did not check the theology topic for last week to realize what we were covering before I asked Julie to fill in.
Well, you were being
Thanks,
examined.
Julie. Yeah. I was. Yes.
So, which you passed with flying colors?
I did pass. Yeah.
Congratulations.
I actually got an official email this year that said you passed. So
she was asked a question of how does she get along with Steve?
What happens when you and Steve disagree? That was one of
that'd be a good ask the pastor question.
That would be a good ask the pastor question. So you can still submit questions.
You guys just talk it out and.
That's what I said. I said we talk about things, and I actually said we have a really good culture on staff, I feel like, that it's very open and transparent, and we can have those discussions and work things out. And
A lot of people confuse the fact that I defend my position passionately with the fact that I'm kind of stubborn in my ideas, but it's actually in the process of everybody defending their position passionately that we kind of get to an accord.
Right.
And that was kind of the way that I was, that's the environment. It's like, you know, you can have your position, I can have my position, let's talk about it passionately, but then in the end we'll reach an agreement and we won't be upset about it because, I mean, that's just kind of how it is. But which, you know, kind of takes people back a little bit and takes some getting used to. So my father always taught me, like, I'd come to him with these ideas, and then he'd start kind of picking them apart. And he wasn't trying to discourage me.
I thought about this.
But what he taught me was how to think through an idea, and then when I present it, to defend it. And then he'd be like, oh, okay. Right. It was just like almost on a dime, you know. But, I mean, that's just kind of how things work out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, congratulations again. That's good.
Thanks. Yeah. I passed. It's good.
You passed.
Yep.
You know, as a celebration, you should have come over to my place on Friday night. You could have been the chaperone for eight-year-old girls in a birthday party.
Yep. I went home and I told Todd. I said, not only are they having all these girls over, but for 6 hours.
6 hours.
Yes.
That would have been a pretty
that
classic
was no
invite.
Small.
Hey, Marcy, what are you doing Friday night? You want to come over for dinner?
Trisha and I want to go out for supper.
Oh, by the way,
it's only going to be 8 girls.
I got 8 girls there. It's
for
a birthday
6 hours.
Party.
We had a bounce house, so that kept them occupied.
Trisha
the weather wasn't
bounce
great.
House but kept them pretty occupied.
Yeah, so. But it's amazing how much drama there can be with 8-year-old girls. But
really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
It was nuts, but it was good. They had a good. Gracie had a great birthday. Little brother and big sister got to play along too, so it was
fun.
Good. Yeah.
Yep. It's good.
And yeah, and then we met up on Saturday.
Yep.
We had 20 some people over at our house for dinner and just fellowship and gathering, and it was good. Good just to gather with people. So
my invitation must have got lost.
I figured you were prepping for the sermon.
I was.
The wonderful sermon on Sunday.
That's right.
I was.
It was good.
Nice save, Aaron. It's all right. I know how it is. It's fine.
Yep. Now I'll be expecting your invite here in the next month. You guilted me into it.
Sorry, I'm busy.
I can't come.
Can't make it.
So let's get into Sunday then.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Still on the topic of our brain and winning the war in our mind and the fight and the battle that ensues. And you challenged us to bring our stronghold.
Yes, and you know, we really kind of dove into the concept of rumination, and you know, what's interesting about that is that we do that. Mm-hmm. It's just a question of what do we do that about? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we mull things over, we chew on them, we think of them, they roll over in our heads. But if you're honest, most of the time, the stuff that we really ruminate on is the stuff that really bothers us. Mm-hmm. And so the idea and the concept is that you have tactics available to you as a believer to actually take those thoughts, make them captive, and mm-hmm. surrender them to, you know, what God wants to say. And you know, so we actually did a exercise in rumination of Scripture, or Lecto Divina, which is where you literally chew on Scripture. And we only did it for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it was cool to see all the interactions and so we invited people to comment back and to, you know, kind of interact with what they felt like God lifted for them mm-hmm. in the passage. And it was good. It was fun. I love that. I love doing that. So.
Congregational participation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, people had a lot to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was just, again, that was just 5 minutes worth. Mm-hmm. So, you know, imagine if you actually could get to yourself to the point where you would ruminate on Scripture for, let's say, a half hour.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and most people that are struggling mentally aren't doing that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and there's science, but there's also spiritual, you know, there's spiritual aspects to it. And so, you know, we, again, it's, you know, so much with what God, so like, for example, like worship, you're going to worship something, mm-hmm. right? It's just a question whether or not it's God. Rumination, meditation, you're going to ruminate on something. It's a question of whether or not it's something from God.
Right.
And so oftentimes we're actually hardwired to do what we need to do, but just in our lost nature, we don't do it towards God. Mm-hmm. So a big part of what we need to learn as believers is to turn a lot of these natural tendencies that we were created with into things that draw us closer to God rather than things that take us further away. Mm-hmm. So it was good. I mean, it's been good. The whole process has been really good. So
mm-hmm. almost creating spiritual habits, so to speak.
Well, yeah, spiritual disciplines. We talk about, you call them spiritual rhythms. Mm-hmm. These are the things, the maintenance things that you do, that you don't just wait until you have something coming up and mm-hmm. or you're in a crisis. These are the things that you do as a matter of maintaining your relationship with the Lord on a regular basis.
Yeah.
So that's actually, you know, and I know that people probably think, well, you know, you're a pastor, you're supposed to do all that stuff. But I'm just kind of blown away by how woefully inadequate people's spiritual disciplines are. Mm-hmm. And then it's almost like something happens and they're just not ready for it.
Right.
And I, my heart goes out to them, but at the same time, it's like, you don't wait.
Right.
You don't wait until there's a problem or a crisis, and then all of a sudden you do something, and then when the crisis is gone, you go back to your old ways.
Right.
This is something that's available to us daily and something that has tremendous blessing mm-hmm. in it.
And transformational power.
Transformational power.
Definitely.
And it's not just about you either. It's about, you know, Christ living in you and helping others.
Right.
So you need to get yourself to a point where now you're on solid enough ground that you can help other people. That's the way it's supposed to work.
Right. But I think, too, the other piece of how that happens within us, but then it affects our relationships. And so, you know, whatever those lies are that the Holy Spirit is bringing up, that changes us when we start to replace those with truth and meditate on the truth of Scripture and then take it that step further, like you mentioned, of making a declaration out of it. And that changes how we interact with people and mm-hmm. how we, you know, make choices and that kind of thing. And so mm-hmm. just kind of depending on what it is maybe that you have identified as your area to be working on. But I think that the piece of Lectio Divina too from Sunday was just so powerful, because I think we talk a lot about, you know, take your thoughts captive and that whole piece, but then it's the how. Like, I know I've had people ask that before too, like, how do you do that? And mm-hmm. and so I think that, you know, that's just helpful in allowing the Holy Spirit to bring something to light, and then sitting in Scripture and meditating on Scripture and just really being in that Word of God, mm-hmm. and allowing it to change you. Hmm. So, yeah.
You know, I've got a mentor that I meet with that he begins every conversation with, "What's God telling you right now?"
Yeah.
And I think that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I mean, for everybody that's listening, is what is God telling you right now? And if your answer is nothing, mm-hmm. or I don't know,
yep.
then it's kind of like, okay, so what are you doing to find out? Because mm-hmm. God is always speaking.
Yep.
He's always, and I don't mean that he's given us direct revelation, mm-hmm. like a voice from heaven. I mean that he's speaking through the Word. He's speaking through our relationships. Mm-hmm. He's speaking, and he's always doing stuff. So not only is what is God telling you right now, but what is God doing in your life right now? Mm-hmm. Is kind of that question. Because if the answer is I don't know or nothing, then are you saying that you're finished? Mm-hmm. That you've reached the end, and now it's just a matter of living out the rest of your life and
fully sanctified.
Well, and this is a concept that you're battling constantly in the American church, mm-hmm. is that we think it's just a matter of believing in Jesus and then that's it. Mm-hmm. Or you know, you believe in Jesus and then, you know, you kind of call on Jesus when something goes bad, or you know, you just kind of live your life and at the end of your life you go to heaven. And there's just a huge gap, mm-hmm. in our picture of what God is doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. And so, but, you know, this is all good stuff. I mean, it's all a part of the growing process, so it's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
So.
It's good.
It is.
Anything else from the message? I mean, I asked the staff this yesterday, and, yeah. But, you know, so I threw out three more action steps is,
yep.
you know, to tear down the stronghold is you identify the lies that surround the stronghold, and then you offset that with truth from God's word. Sorry.
Your son's calling.
He is calling.
I thought maybe it was your car warranty.
No. And anyway, now my watch, everything's going. And then so you offset that with truth, but then you have to declare that truth over your life. You have to make it about you. Mm-hmm. So that's all powerful stuff. And we've been doing that as a staff.
Yep.
As we've gone through there. So I hope that maybe, you know, people that are listening, they've had a few days now to start to develop their lie statements, their truth statements, and their declarations.
Well, you shared with us on Sunday what you've been, you've been working through, and you know, the size. Strength is always associated with size, which, you know, leads you to eat more and get bigger.
So I'm a stressful eater, but I kind of justify it by, you know, so in my stress, there's an element of me that feels kind of insecure because mm-hmm. I don't like being in helpless situations, mm-hmm. which, you know, I mean, I'm not an insecure person, everybody has these little insecurities, but one of the ways that I kind of counteract that feeling is I eat, mm-hmm. you know, and then the two go together. There's like this stronghold that says that, you know, size is strength. And so, you know, and this kind of goes back to when I was in college and, you know, they didn't have like weight gainer and they didn't have like protein shakes and, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s. And so you just ate your protein.
Right.
So I need a
dozen eggs.
I need to eat a dozen hard boiled eggs on top of everything else.
That sounds and terrible.
I would drink nearly a gallon of milk a day. When I was, and everywhere I went, so kind of take it kind of a next level. When I was a freshman, I wrestled varsity heavyweight, mm-hmm. which starts, so varsity heavyweight, what is it, over 200 pounds?
189 was the
Well, so we had 190-pounder. We had 190, and then you had heavyweight, but I weighed 195 pounds, and they had me wrestling heavyweight, which was up to 235.
Right.
And so I while everybody else was cutting weight,
I was trying to gain
weight as a freshman. I was wrestling varsity, and it was tough. But then even, you know, like when I went to college, I reported, you know, I was 6'4", 255 pounds, but they wanted me bigger. Mm-hmm. They wanted me about 285. So you just start eating protein and protein. I remember they had a training table for people that were overweight, and then they had the other table for people they wanted to gain weight. And I just protein.
You were the person that we all hated on the wrestling team because we would all be at lunch starving ourselves, drinking water, and here you'd be with like two lunch trays.
Yeah, I know. I know. It was just, I mean, that was just part of it. But, you know, I just, in all those formative years, I just made an association that I think there was a stronghold that developed. And so, you know, now here I am. I got away with it mostly when I was younger. Mm-hmm. But now that I'm getting older, it's like God's like, this isn't going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. So he and I are working on stuff right now. And so it's a daily battle, but, you know, it's getting good. I think it's kind of interesting because I do think there's a tipping point. So you start out, you know, at first it's a little awkward and you're kind of like, well, why am I doing this? You know, mm-hmm. because it's, you know, you don't tear down that stronghold right away. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, okay, I've added this. I'm expecting results. But I really think it's, again, if you understand the brain makeup, it just takes time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You have to retrain your brain. And you know, like in my case, I've had a certain point of view for over 30 years. Mm-hmm. So that I'm not going to change that in a week.
That's right.
But I'm committed to it. Yeah. And so we'll see what happens. Everybody can watch and see.
That's right.
But that's good. You know, that's one thing about, you know, if your stronghold is eating or under eating, which some people's mm-hmm. is the reverse.
Right.
That's kind of a visible thing. A lot of them are a little more hidden.
Yeah.
You know, the stronghold. So.
So do you have an accountability partner that helps you?
Everybody from Sunday.
Right? Yeah. Basically, now it's 1,000 people. I mean, Vicky's my accountability partner. I mean, that's the good thing about it, and she'll be sure to tell me when I'm giving in to the.
So how do you react to that? Are you going to eat that, Steve?
What would the Lord think? What would Jesus do? WWJD. Pretty sure Jesus didn't have. So, you know, so for Memorial Day, she, for the first time in like over a year, she makes these cinnamon sugar cookies, which are unbelievable. Yeah. I could literally eat a box of them in one sitting, but I didn't.
Fresh out of the oven?
Oh, yeah.
Even better. Yeah. Even better.
She's just, you know. She's a good cook. What can I say? This is Vicky and I have been married 30 years, and it's been 30 years of me just enjoying her cooking, and just some things have to give. That's just how it is.
I don't look like this because of my cooking.
No, that's right. That's right. But it's not her fault.
Right.
So it's mine. I'm not blaming her.
Right.
I mean, that's another thing about all this. You know, if you're going to win the war in your mind, you have to stop blaming everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And just own your piece of it. And it doesn't mean that other people didn't do stuff that they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's really a moot point. It's irrelevant because you can win the battle in your mind regardless of what other people have done.
Right.
So that's kind of the bigger picture of it all.
Oh. Yeah.
So just to kind of wrap this up, I had to go take a 4-year-old boy on a potty break towards the end of the sermon, so I missed out on about the last 5 minutes or so. How did you wrap it up, or what did you send people home with to challenge them, or you know, encourage them to practice throughout the week, or to?
Well, when we went into our time of worship, I just really encouraged people to begin the process. So, you know, if you haven't identified your stronghold, mm-hmm. you still need to identify your stronghold. And again, this isn't what you want to change.
Right.
It's what you just, God's laying on your heart, because God wants to lead you into victory over the stronghold, and you need His help.
Right.
So through prayer and through discernment and just, you know, spending time with the Lord, whether it's in the Word or whatever it is, you need to figure out what the stronghold is that the Holy Spirit wants to help you mm-hmm. overcome. Then you need to continually practice cognitive reframing. Mm-hmm. You have to put yourself in a positive mindset. And that kind of goes back to last week, the tools for that. But then you have to start this sacred rhythm of acknowledging the lies, offsetting them with truth, and then declaring that truth over your life. And we even gave people an opportunity, you know, you have to give your worries to the Lord. You have to, you know, right out of Philippians 4, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. So we even had in the response station, so sometimes people symbolically, they need to take an action step just as a means of getting their bodies and their spirits and everything kind of moving in the right direction. So we had an action step where you could actually write your worries on a piece of paper and put them, literally give them to God at the altar. And so that was, some people did that, you know, other people spent time prayer and in worship and doing all that, so.
Yeah, so some of the questions that I had written down from the end of your message, too, were, are we really going to be a people who dive in to God and into His Word, and are we really going to work to tear down strongholds? And I thought that those were just good kind of wrap-up questions in that, because we've been talking about this for so long, and I think it's easy to sit there and say, oh, that was such a good message, and this is so true, and this is, like, yes, I know that I have negative pathways that I go down, or lies that I'm believing, or strongholds that are maybe there, but then not spend the time to really start to dig into that and to identify and articulate what that lie is, and then allow the Holy Spirit to bring scripture to it. And so, you know, I know for me, there was a verse that just kept coming back. Like, I just saw it in multiple places, and I was like, maybe this is the verse that, and so I sat down and I dug into that as the truth to counteract my lie. And then I actually used that to write my declaration from. And it was just so powerful. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like, yep, like I felt like that was from God, and it was specifically for that. But I think that it's really easy to just come to church on Sunday or just, you know, hear a great message and be like, that was a great message. But we have to take that next step to sit down and start to develop those sacred rhythms, to sit down and spend that quiet time with God and really start to apply and put this into practice. And you mentioned an accountability person, like, if you have a spouse, bring your spouse into the process, bring a trusted friend into the process, bring a mentor into the process. I know for myself through all of this, that's one thing that I actually felt like God was laying on my heart too, was reaching out and finding a mentor. And so I have somebody walking alongside of me in that capacity. And I think that there's just a lot of ways that God wants to bring us freedom in the midst of all of this, and that this is a new pathway that, or maybe not new pathway, but this is a pathway that He's inviting us to go down to, not only individually, but as a body of believers, as a church.
Right.
And I think that, you know, there's power in an individual doing it, but there's spiritual power in a whole congregation coming together and saying, we're going to start to identify these strongholds and tear these strongholds down. And We're gonna walk through this together.
And so, you know, and I kind of started the message. I talked about, you know, meeting with a group of pastors, and you know, we were kind of sharing some things over the last 14 months, and you know, one of the pastors who I have more respect for than, I mean, I have respect for all of them, but this person, if they told me to go stand out in the road on my head, and you know, I would do it. But one of the things that they said is that they've come to realize that the general population of their congregation was not prepared for what just happened. You know, and really, again, it was significant, but it could have been 100 times worse.
Right.
And you know, the way that people reacted, you know, what happens if it's worse? You know, you have people that I don't know, it's just the way that Christians acted, the way they turned on each other, the way that they, you know, they fought against each other, the way that they, you know, disappeared, the way that they, you know, all of the things that happened. It's like, well, so what that tells me is that we need to go a little deeper.
Right. Hmm.
We need to go a little further, because if I'm reading my Bible correctly, I don't know if it'll happen in my lifetime, but worse is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get a lot worse before it gets better.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have to get stronger. Mm-hmm. We have to get better equipped. We have to get prepared to be the salt mm-hmm. of the earth
yep.
in the midst of, all, you know, all the things that go on. So anyway, powerful stuff.
Good
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yep. And then we're... So does this conclude the series, or?
It does, yeah. Okay. I'll reference it a little bit. So we're going to Celebration Sunday, and then I'm going to kind of move us into a. I'm going to kind of move us into a new direction after Celebration Sunday, and then I've got a week off, and then I'll come back, and then we'll do Ask the Pastor.
So. Yeah,
Ask the Pastor.
Yeah. So if you have follow up questions that you would like to ask in regards to this or anything, feel free to submit those online.
You can put them in the comment box down below on the Facebook page.
You can also do that.
Yeah, I was told that. Maybe you weren't here last week.
No, I guess. I did listen to the podcast, though.
Right.
I did.
You pointed out how I screwed up all the announcements.
I did not point out how you screwed up all the announcements. My comment to you was that I was glad there were people to help you, because otherwise Jasper County Food Pantry would have ended up with a lot of soap. Instead of soup.
Well, people need soap.
They do.
Anyway, moving on to theology. We'll get to announcements here later.
Yes, I had to bring my
whole book. I won't judge you in your announcements or point out anything you've done wrong.
I don't believe that for a second. You will totally point it out, which is fine. You're just helping
me. I'm helping.
Cognitively That's right. reframing that. You are helping me. You had a lot of people to help you last week.
Thank you.
Lots of helpers. My little helper. I don't know how fast I'm driving, but my little helper knows, and she tells me every chance she gets.
Is that a comedian bit?
Yeah, that's Tim Hawkins.
Tim Hawkins.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I don't know when the light turns green, but my helper lets me know. Sorry, if you've never heard that bit, it's hilarious.
You should go look it up. It is pretty funny.
Anyway, so means of grace within the church. Means so, you know, this chapter kind of addresses the notion that you don't have to go to church
mm-hmm.
as a Christian. So, biblically speaking, and there are certain means, special impartations of grace that God gives to believers through participation and fellowship within the church.
Right.
Was that actually the definition? What's the definition of...
The official definition is the means of grace are any activities... Hold on, I have a sticky note. Within the fellowship of the church that God uses to give more grace to Christians.
Okay. So that's essentially it. And he's got a list of things. And so...
He does.
You know, so here is... So again, it kind of goes... I use this analogy... you know, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, okay? Well, you don't have to practice to play football either, right?
Right.
Theoretically.
Right.
But how do you get good at it? Or how do you become a member of a team? How do you do, you have to participate in it.
Right.
And so these are the things that he says, this is his list of things that are essentially these means of grace within the church. And that's, so teaching of the word, baptism, the Lord's Supper or communion, prayer for others, worship, church discipline, giving, spiritual gifts, fellowship, evangelism, and personal ministry to individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he kind of expands on those. And I guess my first question to you guys is, anything on that list that kind of strikes you as, as a means of grace. So how about giving? That's kind of interesting, isn't it? I mean, obviously, that's what I believe, but a lot of people don't necessarily believe that.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe that you receive an extra measure of grace from God when you are giving?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's an interesting one.
I think that there's an element of go back to cognitive reframing, right? But there's an element of what you maybe believe before you start to enter into giving as a discipline. Mm-hmm. And then when you do and you experience that blessing of giving, that then you start to see it differently.
Yeah.
And so sometimes I think that just takes an intentional effort of, I know this is an area that God is wanting me to be obedient in, and so I'm going to take steps to get better and to grow and to get to where I need to be. And I think that as you do that, that then there's blessing in that, and absolutely, then you experience that blessing. But yeah, it's, I mean, I suppose that's true for all of these, just that as you step into it, there's that blessing that you experience.
Yeah. And I would just say, if you don't give, try it. I mean, give it 6 weeks and see what happens.
And Jesus actually, or I mean, not Jesus, but in it, the God says in Malachi, could have been Jesus, but Holy Spirit. But in Malachi, that's actually one area where he wants you to test him.
Mm-hmm.
Is see to it that, you know, test me on this.
Yeah.
And I will, you know, if you give your offering, I will basically open up the heavens of blessing, which is misconstrued. And that's kind of how you get into this prosperity gospel thinking. And that's not what we're saying. But what we are saying is that it's not about, so if I give $100, I expect that to come back to me tenfold.
Right.
So I'm going to get $1,000. That's not it. It's I give faithfully, and I receive tenfold in grace and blessing from God. And so that's kind of that picture.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that's one of them. You know, I've always kind of said, if you're not going to church, where are you getting the Word of God taught to you? And not just, you know, so it's not just, the other thing I would say is that it's not just a matter of teaching the Word of God, it's a matter of teaching the relevant Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are certain things that God wants to say to our congregation today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can watch other preachers and other messages, and they're wonderful, but what's the relevant message that you're getting as well? And obviously, you know, the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, those kind of go, you know, those are easy means of grace. Prayer for one another, laying hands on people, praying for them.
Yeah.
That's a big part of who we are. And you know, when's the last time you've allowed somebody to pray for you?
Yeah, that's so. As I dug in and kind of looked over this again for today, the prayer for one another and the laying on of hands, I thought it was interesting. Grudem makes the comment in his book that the laying on of hands was probably the most common way that Jesus prayed for people.
Absolutely.
And I was just like, that's just so interesting, because how often, I mean, we do that here, but I think that for us, that feels a little less common. It's more of like, this is a special prayer time or something. Do you know what I mean? And so, but I think there's just that relational connection in that. And so that was a piece too that I had.
And we've been told that that's a bad idea for 14 months.
Yes, exactly.
To which I have said,
right. We're going to lay hands on people and pray for them anyway.
Well, we'll respect your wishes, but I'm not, I've never been afraid of somebody laying hands and praying on me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I would even say that, you know, for me, I actually believe that there's probably even a spiritual protection in that.
Yeah. Tell the story about when you went to, was it Haiti, and you prayed for the person?
Yeah.
Tell that story.
So I went, so we were in Haiti, and we were, you know, you kind of go out and you're doing things all day. Well, one of the things we did is we prayed for this family, and this mother and this baby had this horrible skin condition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it almost looked like it was leprosy or something. You know, you see things in third world countries. I don't know what it is. And so he couldn't afford to bring her to the doctor, which happens, you know. And so we prayed for them. And as we were praying for them, I just felt, so she had like a dress on, and you know, she had her arm. And I just felt like God said, touch her and pray for her. So I did. And we're praying, and I prayed for her and the baby, and you know, and of course the baby was just crying, baby was so uncomfortable, and so we prayed for them, and then we had nurses that were a part of it, and the nurses, you know, came later and kind of tended to their skin condition, so I'm out all day doing stuff and working, and then I come back, and you know, the nurses report to us that they had the most severe case of scabies that they had ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you kind of start itching a little, right. You know? And I just immediately, I'm like, Lord, you know what? I was obedient to you.
Yep.
You know, because that was actually my mind too. Is what if it's a contagious skin condition? Mm-hmm. But God just called me to lay hands on her, and so that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I never got anything.
Yep.
So, it's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Worship is a powerful piece too. You know, participating mm-hmm. with others in worship, mm-hmm. singing together. There is no substitute for being in the worship center.
Right.
Singing.
Yep.
Corporate worship.
Yeah.
How about church discipline?
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think would say, oh, yeah, that's a means of grace?
Right.
Is church discipline.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what if you kind of flipped it to accountability?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so discipline, you could look at it as something negative, but we'll reframe that.
Right.
And we'll say that accountability is positive.
Right.
So, you know, the whole point of discipline is not to judge and to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
The point of discipline is to restore them
mm-hmm.
and to help them grow. People misinterpret that.
Mm-hmm.
They misinterpret it that, you know, like you're being judgmental. No, we're not.
Right.
We want you to have this blessed life, and this is something you're doing that is not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to encourage you, we want to help you, and you know, maybe what you might need to do is take a step back if you're involved in something and take some time to kind of regroup, restore,
mm-hmm.
and heal up a little bit.
Yeah.
And but you know, some people just they struggle with that one. But that's okay. That's a part of it.
I think it's a really good point, though, that the whole goal of it is restoration and reconciliation. And so that's the whole hopeful outcome of
what should be done with a loving mindset, right?
Yeah.
How do I lovingly bring this up and approach these people about it or this person?
Yeah. Absolutely. Spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have all the spiritual gifts, even though you have the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're by yourself, there's certain spiritual gifts that you don't have access to.
Right.
And so when you're in fellowship, they're all present.
Right.
And so if somebody has a spiritual gift that could bless me, mm-hmm. then we are to bless each other with our spiritual gifts.
Right. And the piece that I would add to that is when we don't step in obediently to where God is calling us to use our spiritual gifts, then we're actually kind of withholding a blessing from others. Mm-hmm. And so...
And ourselves,
yes. But
and, you know, you're right. There's a mindset that comes in, we'll let the staff have all the spiritual gifts. I'll just sit back and watch.
They don't need me.
Yeah.
You know, everything's covered.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, no. I think there's just a lot of narratives that we can go to, but it's just not true.
It's not true.
Yeah. We need all the spiritual gifts, and we believe everybody has a spiritual gift, and everybody is called to plug in some way. And so sometimes, especially from my position with discipleship, it's helping people identify what that is and try some things and get plugged in and, you know, mm-hmm. find where it is that God's calling you to serve.
Absolutely. Fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was probably the one thing that bothered me the most when we had to shut down early on, is that we couldn't, you know, we still had fellowship as a staff because mm-hmm. we were still coming in and, you know, for the most part, I mean, sporadically because people had different life situations, like their kids were at home and things like that. But, you know, fellowship is a tremendous blessing
mm-hmm.
from God.
And I think that's the number one thing when people have come back after being away. It's just like, it's so good to see people.
Yeah.
So good to be with people.
It is.
And it's just affirmation. We were created to be relational people and to gather and to mm-hmm. have fellowship with one another.
Yep.
Absolutely. And I will say this because it's come up. If you're feeling guilty about something, this is a loving church.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there aren't people, you know, so don't interpret, oh, I don't want to go because people will judge me. Because I will say, I've been to judgmental churches, and this is not one of them. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean there aren't some judgmental people that may, but that's not right. So it's not okay to be judgmental. But I do think that that's probably Satan laying some groundwork that he doesn't want you in fellowship.
Right.
You know, he wants you isolated. It's like the deer that's got the lions. The first thing they do is they separate them from the herd, and then they right. can wear them down and devour
right.
them.
Right. Well, and when we move to isolation, at least I know for myself, the stories I can make up in my head are sure. pretty powerful and might completely not be true. So I think that's another piece of that too. But then when we come back into fellowship, or when we go to a person and say, hey, you know, can you clarify this for me? Mm-hmm. Or whatever that is that you find that maybe what you were thinking in that wasn't true. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Evangelism.
Yes. I think you feel a little passionate about this one.
I do feel passionate about it. Telling other people about Jesus.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting built up in the Spirit, getting emboldened in the Spirit, and you know, and just sharing Jesus with people. Mm-hmm. It's a big part of it. It, you know, for those that say you don't have to go to church to be a Christian, in the back of my mind, I'm always curious, how much do you share Jesus with people? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, what else are we supposed to be doing, mm-hmm. if not that?
Yeah.
I mean, we have to do what we have to do to function in the society. So that's a big part of it too. But you got to be telling people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, that you got to. He wants you to be his witnesses. And then the last one is personal ministry to individuals. Personal ministry. So that, you know, a big part of ministry is what's known as a ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. Being present with people in moments. So personal ministry to individuals.
Yeah.
So those are all the big. Now we'll go into greater detail with communion and baptism, because those are actually sacraments. But those are what that's his list. Anything else that you think the list is complete?
I guess so. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
Well,
I think so. The comment that I made earlier was, I feel like we've somewhat covered this, because I feel like when we covered the chapter on the purity of the church, mm-hmm. this was similar.
Yeah.
But I think that's because, you know, within this idea of the means of grace, that this is how God extends grace to believers within the body of Christ. But then how that gets practiced sometimes too within a church, you know, just looks different. But that list was a little different. But yeah, there were some similarities there. So
yeah. And I think that the big idea too is if you're a person that is outside of participating in the church and you're a Christian, you need to think about what you're missing, mm-hmm. because you're not meant to be this alien in a foreign land
right.
on your own.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
You have people, you're meant to be a part of a community. You're meant to be a part of a group of people, and we're all gifts are present. We're all these means of grace are participating, and we can all benefit.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And you're invited in. There's always an invitation.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everybody's invited.
That's right.
You know, and the other thing I'd say too is that, you know, I mean, the Holy Spirit, Jesus builds the church.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit validates your position as a member of a local body. Mm-hmm. So just because somebody comes, I mean, if you're sitting there going, well, the only church I ever go to is the Way, and maybe you're not feeling like you're growing here, try going to another church. But you need to find a community of believers that you are an active participant mm-hmm. in. So yeah,
definitely
encourage people to do that. I would encourage people that, you know, obviously word driven and spirit led
yep.
is an important part of moving forward. But there's a lot of great churches out there. If we're not the one for you, find one that is.
That's right.
So
yeah.
Good.
Very good.
All right. Announcement time.
Announcements. Aaron's ready to go. He's ready to tell me everything I miss. So, actually, I think you should start off announcements with Operation Finding Freedom this Friday.
Yeah, so Friday we're doing Operation Finding Freedom here in the Discipleship Center for veterans. If you are a veteran, come join us. We're actually going to be talking about community and being a part of a body. So it's going to be good. So kind of lines up with what we were talking about
today. Yeah, absolutely.
First Friday of every month.
Yep. 7 to 8:30.
There you go.
Doors open at 6:30. So come join us.
Which really comes pretty natural if you're a veteran, because you've been a part of a military community. I mean, if there's one thing about the military, it's the aspect of community that you have with the people you're in, you know, you serve with.
Yeah. That's right. And you know, so people who serve together, and when they serve, they develop a special relationship, a special bond with one another. And the point I want to get across is you can have those same special bonds and relationships with other believers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
But it just takes a little bit of effort.
It does.
So this Friday, Operation Finding Freedom. Then we have some things coming up. So summer camp registration for kids is up on our website now, and that is coming sooner rather than later. So I think June 14 through 17, Monday through Wednesday night are kids' nights. Thursday is our family experience night. So be sure to go on and sign up for that. Get your kids registered. Let us know if you're coming to family night, and we're excited for everything that's going to be coming with that.
How are you doing with volunteers?
We're doing really good with volunteers. Really? Alicia has just
been job, everybody.
Amazing on that. Yes. So, but if you would like to volunteer, there's still room for you. So let us know. But we are in a pretty good place with volunteers. So yeah, that's great. Well, that's exciting. Celebration Sunday is this coming Sunday. And so we're doing baptisms, and if you are interested in being baptized, we're moving a little late.
We're getting close, but
appointment, but you could maybe still call the office today, and we could maybe squeeze you in sometime. Yeah. So let us know. But we're excited for Celebration Sunday, and we're going to be introducing new members and people being baptized, and we have some infant blessings and just all kinds of things. So we're excited
for I love Celebration
all that
Sunday.
God is doing, and it's just a great time to celebrate together. So then, as we mentioned earlier, our Ask the Pastor series is coming up at the end of June. So if you have questions, please go onto our website and submit your questions. When we read them in church, we won't read your name with your question, but we do ask you to put your name in when you submit it. So just letting people know that.
What if they have a question for you, Marcy?
I am hosting one day.
Okay. So we'll put it in that
one. There you go. If you have a question for a specific person, you could put their name in it. And if they're hosting, we can put it on their week. And if they're not, then I don't know. We'll figure it out.
What
bothers? What if you have a question for Aaron?
I'm hosting too.
A question for Aaron. Aaron is also hosting.
What bothers Marcy more than anything in the world? Answer. Lack of duct tape on the spine of a book. She says this is disgusting.
No, that's not. The answer is balloons. Balloons.
Stickers and balloons. I just have a few pet peeves. And
I feel like more and more.
Those
like
are two of them.
If you give Marcy balloons, make sure you get her the aluminum ones or whatever those are.
The foil ones. Yes, I can handle those. It's the other ones.
So latex.
Can't do it.
Latex balloons she doesn't like.
I don't. I'm like, they're going to pop all the time. So between balloons and sticky tape and
some reason you had a bunch of black balloons in your office, didn't you? Not too long ago.
No, that was him.
Oh.
They were mine, but they transferred. I thought they made their way
to your office.
Because
they
did. You're clearly older than I am, so then you did have to come and bring them and put them in my
older,
office.
Older, they say, and wiser? Is that?
I older.
Yeah, just older.
Anyway. So Ask the Pastor is coming up. Also, coming up, we have the book club. It starts next Monday night, so we have two books to choose from. You can register for that online. You can get your book at Choices Uptown on the Square also. They have the books in, so we'd love for you to join us. Then coming up, we have the Matchless Women's Ministry Study. They're going to start that in July, so stay tuned for some more details. Registration with that will be coming out very soon. And Kingdom Builders Men's Ministry, they are starting their breakfast. So Men's Ministry Breakfast is back on the last Saturday of every month, so their first one will be Saturday, June 26th. But before that, also through the summer, they are going to be doing game nights, and so they are going to be meeting at Jeff Guthrie's shop, Wood Styles, and the first one's June 18 at 6:30, and just getting a bunch of guys together to play games and hang out.
We went to the men's retreat, and we were up till 2 in the morning playing cards. So they're like, you know, we gotta do this more often.
Inspired the idea.
That's all right.
That's right.
Just a bunch of dudes getting together playing cards.
That's good.
Good time.
That's fun.
Fellowship. That's called fellowship.
That's fellowship.
That's right.
For sure.
Right.
Yep. That's good. So.
No women allowed.
That's all we've got.
No. Those are all your announcements?
That's all my announcements.
Do you have anything to add?
I don't think so.
Well done.
Do you have anything to add? You added as we went.
You didn't mention anything about the food pantry.
I didn't mention anything about the food pantry. You're right. We talked about that earlier. If you would like
to. It's so hard to do that you just skip over it.
But you can also bring mac and cheese and soup for them as well.
Soup.
Soup.
Keyword is soup.
Soupe.
Well, good. Well, that concludes another podcast. On that note. That concludes another one, and it looks like it's going to be some great weather.
Yeah.
Some boating weather, maybe.
Hmm.
I'm thinking. Go. So, yeah. Or whatever you like to do when it gets sunny in 80s.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, thank you for tuning in, and we hope to see you soon. God bless you, and have a great rest of your week.